So join with me as we go to our reading in Exodus chapter 6, verses 1 to 12. But the Lord said to Moses, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he will send them out, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of this land." And God spoke to Moses and said to him, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I will not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them and gave them the land of Canaan, the land in which they have lived and sojourners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the people of Israel, whom the Egyptians hold as slaves, and I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the people of Israel, 'I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into a land I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you for possession. I am the Lord.'" Moses spoke thus to the people of Israel, but they did not listen to Moses because of their broken spirit and harsh slavery. So the Lord said to Moses, "Go in, tell Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to let the people of Israel go out of his land." But Moses said to the Lord, "Behold, the people of Israel have not listened to me. How then shall Pharaoh listen to me? For I am uncircumcised lips."
And Father, our heart does choose to say, "Blessed be your name." And Father, as we come to the service today, as we come to this part of the service, we realise that all we can see with our eyes is what's in front of us. And Father, we come to today with circumstances that are very different for every person here. There will be some people who have arrived today with a real joy in their heart because it's a really good season for them. There's good things happening. It's a fun time. There will be others who probably will have arrived today with a sense of que sera, sera, and just everything's just what it is. And at the same time, Father, I have no doubt there are people who are going through real struggles. And it's hard to look at the current circumstances and have a confidence in what the future looks like. Yet, Father, we understand that you know something that we don't. You know what's in the future. And so, Father, regardless of whether we see this as a good time or a struggling time or just life as it always is, we can have a confidence in who you are, and that no matter what the future holds, we can trust in you. We want to thank you and praise you for that. And I pray as we look at this passage today that we will have an understanding of that confidence that we can have in you, regardless of what we can see, so that we can walk confidently with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you look at today's passage, I have no doubt that most of us will have a pretty good idea of this particular event, the whole idea of Moses going to Pharaoh and all of that's taking place in Exodus with the Israelites leaving Egypt. And we know it, don't we? We know it all because there was a movie made about it. And we also know it because it's in the Bible as well, I guess. But we know the story well. It's been a story that's been told many times. But surely, one of the things that each person here, I have no doubt, everyone who's here, would not in any way, shape or form be so naive to think that God didn't know all that was going to happen. He did. He knew all that was happening. He knew the hearts and the responses of what everybody would be doing in this whole event. He knew the sheer logistics of getting that many people out of Egypt. Everything was known to God. Everything was planned by God. And no one and no thing was going to thwart his plans. And what we can have a confidence is this, that God knew what he was doing. But of course, hindsight is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Hindsight is a wonderful thing. At the end of chapter 5, we read of Moses and all the Israelites struggling because all they could see was the request that had been made to Pharaoh of letting God's people go was met with rejection. And more than that, their whole situation had deteriorated. From what they could see in their own eyes, the response makes perfect sense in verses 22 and 23 of chapter 5. Why, Lord? Why, Lord? Why have you brought this trouble on your people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble on this people. And you have not rescued your people at all. You have not rescued them one iota. That's what they see, and that's what they feel. I'd like to talk for a few moments about faith. About faith. Many people are of the belief that faith is an all-powerful commodity that's able to do all kinds of things. That faith is able to work miracles. That faith is able to heal. Faith can change God's plans. Faith can bring about good outcomes. Things will be all right if we have faith, if you have enough faith. Let me say today, that is a really dangerous belief. A really dangerous belief. If incorrectly applied, it's even one more thing. It's even blasphemy. And to say that because you see, lots of people put their faith in faith. Their faith is in faith, which is really saying their faith is in themselves. And if I believe, then if I have greater faith, then I can control outcomes. But that's not the situation. Yes, I know we're told that if we had faith the size of a mustard seed, we can move mountains. We read that in Matthew 17. And yes, I know we have passages such as the lady who had been struggling with bleeding for many years reaches out. And because she touches the garment of Jesus, he actually says to her, your faith has healed you. But it's not faith in faith that heals or faith in ourselves. You see, when the lady reached out, her faith was in what Jesus could do. That's the point. And if we want to move a mountain, it won't be our faith that moves the mountain. Our faith will be in believing that God can move the mountain. So our faith needs to be in God Almighty. Our faith needs to be in who Jesus is, not faith in faith itself. I say that this morning because the struggle and the heartache and the tensions that we read in chapter 5 didn't need to be there for Moses and the people. The circumstances are not going to change. Yes, they're still going to have to be doing the hard labor. And yes, Pharaoh still said no to them going. But the opportunity was there for them to live by faith. And the faith they needed to live by was a faith that took God at his word. See the difference? If you take God at your word and by faith you believe it to be true, then you'll live in the fullness of what God will do, not in the fullness of what you hope will happen. Very big difference. You see, faith, like I say, would not have changed the circumstances, but it would have changed their spirit in the midst of the struggle. And so if you want to be settled in dealing with your circumstances, then yes, we need faith. But let's make sure that our faith is founded in the right place. and our faith is founded in who God is. Now, God could have got grumpy. He could have got really grumpy with Moses, and he could have got grumpy with the Israelites. It would have been really easy for God to say, "What on earth are you whinging about? I told you this would happen. I told you that you'd be going through some struggles before he finally let you go. So what are you complaining about?" But instead of being grumpy, we see that God is gracious. God is loving. God is understanding. He once again shows and speaks out who he is in the situation. So let's look at today's passage, chapter 6, verse 1. "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh because of my mighty hand. He will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country." It's an interesting insight, isn't it? Pharaoh is going to be the one who makes the decision. It's actually going to be Pharaoh who says, "Going to drive them out. I want you to get out of this place." We kind of sometimes think that it was more a case of it was done by stealth and that the people just escaped and Pharaoh didn't have a part to play in it. But Pharaoh who says, "I don't want you here anymore." And that's amazing that it got to that point. And I think the reason that that's significant is because there was never going to be a time when Pharaoh was going to say, "I'm doing this because God said." He was never going to say that. He always wanted to be in control because he considered himself to be a god. So even with the driving out of the Israelites, it was going to be him who made the decision. Of course, God played a key role in getting him so frustrated that he made that decision. But it says there that it's actually going to be Pharaoh who drives him out of the country. Pharaoh was, like I say, never going to declare, "God made me do this." He was always going to claim the decisions he took. What God is declaring is, "You have seen with your eyes," Pharaoh saying no. Yes, you've seen that. You've seen that Pharaoh's being more obnoxious than he's ever been before. But don't focus on him. Don't focus on Pharaoh, focus on me. And I believe that in this season in our world today, in this great south land of the Holy Spirit, I believe God is saying the same thing to us today. Don't focus on the scientists. Don't focus on what the world calls as right morality. Focus on who God is. He's making the same utterances today. The world says that this is the way morality should look. This is the way justice should look. And God says, "Don't look there. Look to me." So God said to Moses, verse 2, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they resided as foreigners." So it wasn't theirs. They lived there, but it wasn't theirs. They were renting. I don't know who they paid the rent to, but they were just renting when they were there. "And moreover, I've heard the groanings of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant." See, even though God had enough runs on the board through history, he now just says, "Trust me." In this moment, it should have been enough for the people to just hear the word, "Trust me." But they needed more. Sometimes God understands our battles. God says to us, just trust me. But he also knows that sometimes it's hard for us to just accept those words. Now, I don't know what comforts Moses the most, but the phrase, "I am the Lord," really does instill a confidence, doesn't it? There have been a few times in ministry where I can think of times when the struggle has been really intense. And by the grace of God, God has just whispered into my spirit, "Just trust me in it. You are doing what I've asked you to do. The outcome's not my responsibility. The outcome is God's responsibility." And that's really been a big help to me. So there are times when God just speaks that extra word to give us confidence. Moses was struggling at the end of chapter 5, but he goes to the Lord, and that's to his credit. I hope you noted that. He actually went to the Lord. It's a great place to go. And the Lord's reply is strong and mighty as well. Verse 6, therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. Actually, we'll do things a little bit differently here today, since today's going to be different anyway. Rather than just read through, I'll highlight each of these points as dot points. Number one, in this passage he says, I am the Lord. Number two, I will bring you from under the yoke of the Egyptians. Number three, I will free you from being slaves. Number four, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with a mighty act of judgment. Number five, I will take you as my own people. I will be your God. And then number six, and I will bring you to the land I swore within uplifted hands to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then I will give the land to you as a possession. And then he finishes with the first thing he said, I am the Lord. Let's never forget the fact. There's not ever going to be anything more important to us than understanding that God is God. And that he is God Almighty. He is the Creator God. He is the one true God. I trust that we never forget that. And when we see broken hearts and broken lives, let's remember that that's who we need to introduce people to. We get caught up, and I guess it's not wrong, but we get caught up in hoping that somebody will come to church or that somebody will come to a ministry we run. There's nothing wrong with that. But we should never lose sight of the fact that really what we want to do more than anything else is we need to introduce them to who God is. Here is God Almighty. This is the person I want you to see. This is his son, Jesus Christ. He's the one I want you to encounter. You see, the church isn't the answer. God is the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer for a broken soul. And that's what we need to always remember. We see there that he promised that he would bring them from out of the yoke of the Egyptians. You see, Moses and Israel are blaming God. Our work is getting harder. That's your fault, God. If Moses hadn't come here, we wouldn't have to do all this hard labor. And God pulls them up and says, hang on a second. I didn't make you work harder. That's Pharaoh who's doing that. That's the Egyptians that are doing that. If you want to blame someone, they're the ones that you need to blame. I think sometimes we put the blame in the wrong place. I've probably mentioned this just 50 times. But one of the things I really struggle with in being a pastor at the moment is all this stuff to do with safe churches and workplace health and safety. It takes up so much jolly time. It is so annoying and so frustrating. But I've got to be really careful that I don't get frustrated with all of the authorities that are putting these regulations in place. Because in truth, it's not actually their fault. It's the fault of religious institutions and organizations and individuals in the past that have abused vulnerable people. They've abused children. And so if you want to be grumpy with anyone, those are the people that we need to be grumpy with. That the wrong thing has been done and we have to do what we have to do now to make sure that we guard and protect those people under our care. So I can still be grumpy, but I've just got to be grumpy with a different group of people. See, God wasn't to blame for their hard labor. That was all on Pharaoh. And God wanted the Israelites to make sure that their concern went to the right place. Says, I will free you from being slaves. Not only are you doing hard labor for the Egyptians, but you're even owned by them. You are not a nation. You are not a people. At least you're not a free people. Your identity has been taken away from you. Remember the movie or the series from way back when called Roots? Remember that? And there's one of the slaves, the African American slaves in there, and they're trying to break him, and he comes out and he makes the declaration, my name is Kunta Kinte, and it's that thing of I am not a slave. I am who I am. But the Israelites had been broken. Had been broken and they'd lost their identity. And one of the promises that God's making to them is you are going to get your identity back. It's a great promise. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and a mighty act of judgment. In some ways, redeem seems like a bit of an unusual word there. I think the idea of redeem is often used in regards to obviously what Jesus did, in as much as he paid the price. He paid the price that was owed, and so he redeemed us. And yet God's not going to be paying the price. So it seems like an unusual word, but the best way I can describe it is to probably use a bit of an illustration. I just recently have purchased a battery-powered hedge trimmer. Very exciting. It's a DeWalt, by the way, just in case you're wondering. A DeWalt head. I haven't got it yet. I'm still waiting for it to be delivered. But when I get it, it comes with a voucher that you can get a free battery with the hedge trimmer. But for me to get it, I have to hand the voucher over, redeem it. So in other words, I have to go and claim what is rightfully mine. That is my battery, but I have to claim it. But it's mine. So that battery, wherever it's stored, is mine, but I've got to claim it. I've got to take it. And God is saying, with my mighty hand, I'm going to claim what is rightfully yours. And it's your freedom. It is your freedom, and it is for you to be a nation. And I'm going to go, I'm going to take what is yours, and I'm going to claim it for ourselves. And so that's what he does. He actually goes and redeems the children of Israel. That really brings us to number 5. I will take you as my people. I'll take you as my people and I will be your God. What an amazing promise. I've been reminded who God is, what God has done, the all-powerful God, and now he wants the people to know that they are his people, that they are a part of his family. God Almighty. It's an incredible statement, isn't it? An amazing statement in world history that these people would be God's people. And that hasn't changed throughout all of history, has it? The only thing that's really changed is that there's a different group of people that are also God's people. And that's us. That we're also his people. And God said exactly the same thing to us. Once you accept Jesus Christ, then I accept you into my family. And God Almighty is our Heavenly Father. We're a part of the family. We are his people. It's an amazing, amazing privilege. And I think sometimes we forget the position that we hold. For so long, they'd been a displaced people, living in a land that was not their own and really had no hope of ever getting to that place. But God tells the people through Moses, I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hands to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I'll give it to you as a possession. Up until this point, even before the Egyptian stage, they were just renters. They were just living in a land that was not theirs, that was promised to them, and they were enjoying the fruit of it. But it wasn't theirs. But God says, this time it's going to be different. When you go back into the land, it will be yours. I will give you the deeds to it almost. And so no one will ever be able to take it away from you. And we're seeing it in world history right now, aren't we? Once again, it is theirs. So we see that the promise that God is making to the Israelites, even though they can't see it with their own eyes, he's basically saying, you are currently slaves. You are in a foreign land. You are experiencing hard labor. But in a little while, you'll experience freedom and you'll experience a land that is your own. It's an amazing promise. And then God finishes where he started. Just so no one ever forgets, I am the Lord. God says it. We often use the phrase, what is it? God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Is that how the phrase goes? I'm not even sure we need the second bit. God said it, that settles it. Whether I believe it or not almost doesn't play a part. It just makes it a lot easier if I believe it. Makes it a bit easier in us. But if God says it, then it's a done deal. I am the Lord. The people were struggling because of all that they could see. All they could see was the hard labor. It was harder than what they were used to. All they could see was that Pharaoh said no. And they were battling with what they could see. And we're the same, aren't we? We battle with what we can see rather than knowing what God is about to do. In this passage, as we've looked at it today, we've seen that God is the great I am. He is the Lord. Can I say really strongly today, hear it. Hear it. He is God Almighty. He is the Lord. Hear it and remember it. Never forget that truth. Now hear and remember that as redeemed children, because of what Christ has done with us, we are his people, a chosen people. He knows us by name, and he is our God. When the struggles come, and they do, when the doubts surface, when the worry kicks in, we need to remember these truths, and we need to remember who is in our corner. Does faith play a part? Absolutely, faith plays a part. It's not faith in faith. It's faith in God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth. It's faith in the God who says, I am your God. That's who we have faith in. Is today a day when you need to believe God's word? That he has your future under control. May you trust in him and know that he has the best for you in hand. And that's when we really need to pray those words, not my will, but yours be done. We sang a song just before I came here to preach this morning. We sang these words, we are the people of God. The freedom of hope in our hearts. How great is the love of the Father? How great is the love of the Father? It is awesome. Let's live in the fullness of that. Let's pray. Father, as we've looked at today's passage, we recognize that there is so much contained in these few short verses. There is the what can be seen with human eyes. And then there is the what you will do. I pray, Father, that we will always have a faith and a trust in what you will do. Because, Father, we know that you never change. And we know that we can rely on you. Today, Father, I do, though, want to pray for those who are feeling a bit like Moses and the Israelites going through a particularly difficult stage. And Father, I pray that you will help those people in those circumstances just turn their eyes to you and that you will comfort them and you will give them the strength they need to go through this difficult season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You're not a God that has to send a messenger to deliver us a promise or tell us what's going to happen. But you are God who is now close to us. You have come close to us through Jesus Christ, and that we now live through your Holy Spirit living within us. That the covenant that you have given us, Lord, has been fulfilled, and all glory is through Christ. We thank you, as we read this morning, that Christ will dwell in our hearts through faith, that we'll be rooted and grounded in love. We'll have the strength to comprehend what is your breadth and length and height and depth. And we will know the love of Christ in our hearts that passes all knowledge, that we may will be filled with all the fullness of God. As we say many times, as Paul has written here, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God bless. Go in peace. Enjoy finding the love of Christ as it dwells in your hearts throughout this week. Amen.